about that name. Let's say the name Jesus. Careful, lovely. Jesus. Come on. Jesus. That's the name that you and I should be shouting from the housetop. Jesus. The Savior of the entire world. Jesus. There's something special about that name, isn't there? It's a name that always has that special ring to it. Jesus. And that is the name that Paul is writing about today. Jesus. A subject today that should concern us all. Not only we who are here this morning, but the entire world that knows God should be concerned about that vital subject of the advent, or second advent, the coming of Jesus Christ. May I just say it this clear today as I begin to preach the Word of God. Jesus is coming back. We might say, oh Lord, hold your coming. That won't do no good to pray for God to hold His coming. Because God knows the day. And God knows the hour. And no other man knows it. But the day when God said to His Son, Son, today's the day. You can rest assured that there will be noise in heaven and there will be noise on earth, because this morning we're speaking about a possible earthquake that's coming. Well, I don't know if this one's going to make it that we're talking about down in Missouri and Illinois, but I know one that's going to make it. And that's the one where Jesus comes, and the trump sound, and the voice of the archangel sound, and the earth begins to tremble, and the graves open up, and the dead in Christ rise. That is coming. You can rest assured of it. It's coming. Man, I don't know if I'm going to finish preaching here or not. He's coming. He's coming, and beloved, He's coming for us. And the question is, are we ready? Paul is speaking these words to admonish and exhort the children of God at the church at Thessalonica to encourage them to say this. Look, you've got a problem down there. You believe in God. You know that the Word of God is true. And yet, you're kind of questioning the Word of God because you have a worry on your life. You're worried concerning those who have died and have been buried, your loved ones. You're worried about them. And Paul writes to say this to them. Believe me, standing on the Word of God, God hasn't forgotten. Ain't you glad today? We might think that God's far off, but I like what the man said. God is just this far away. Amen? From my mouth to my heart, because that's where God went. And Paul speaks of this appearing. Not only Jesus is coming, but to the Philippians, he said, or the Titans, he says in 2:13, the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. The glorious appearing. Because when He appears in the second advent, the church shall see Him in His glory, as we've never seen Him before. This morning I say to you, Jesus is coming. And He might just come before this service ends today. You believe that? If you believe that, we had better be ready, because Paul said to be sober-minded and watchful for the coming of the Lord, because we do not know the day or the hour that He comes. But one thing we're told, that when He does come, He will come as a thief in the house. Amen? He will come unknown to us. He will come at a time when we least expect Him. And believe me, the time when the church least expects Christ to come is today. Now, if you listen carefully, and I'll listen carefully, we will see that Paul is not talking about Jesus coming for the dead or to take us when we die. He's not talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He is talking about the coming of Jesus, and he uses these words, for the Lord, listen to this next word, Himself shall descend with a shout. Amen. not an angel, but the Lord himself shall descend with a shout from heaven. And Paul is teaching a rapture. And you know, I have heard good Christians who love God, who study the Word of God, and you know, they're always looking for something wrong, and the first thing that they say is, preacher, the word rapture is not in the Bible. And I want to be the first to tell you in all of my studies, and I've been studying a couple days, I've never found the word rapture in the Bible. But I do want to tell you what I do find. I find the word resurrect, resurrected, and resurrection in the Bible. And I do find these words. And the dead in Christ shall what? Shall rise first. That's rapture. And if you want to use OHEW's lingo, it's not only rapture, but it's soup gone. That's what it is. At the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the graves will open. And I say to you that if I'm in one of them, brother, it's going to open up and OHEW is coming out and he's going to be in the presence of God. That almost makes me want to shout. Because it's going to happen. And you know what? That's what we're living for. That's your hope. If that isn't your hope today, you ain't got the same God I've got. You haven't got the same Bible that I study. Something's wrong somewhere. Verse 16 says, the Lord will come again. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout. And this is the principal message of the entire book of Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd, that Jesus Christ is coming back. And he urges us to watch for his coming. Did you hear that? To watch for his coming. Is it personal? Let me tell you something. Was the coming of Jesus personal when the Bible said that he took on the form of man and dwelt among us and that he lived for approximately 33 and a half years and that he died on Calvary in your place, in your place, in my place and that he ascended to God? Was that personal? I say to you that the coming of Christ for the church is just as personal as the coming of Jesus to die for the church. Wow. He's coming in person, my friend. The Bible said that in the beginning was the Word in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in the same chapter in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of glory. My Bible says that Jesus came personally from God, that he came and took on the form of flesh and dwelt among us. And that is the way Christ is coming in his spiritual body, just as personal. He's coming, Paul says, on a cloud. And so, the message for you and I today, as Paul taught those at the church at Thessalonica, is Jesus is coming back. Writer said, Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. I don't know, but I know this, that when he comes, I'll be able to sing that song. Oh, this is now glory for me. Glory for me, yes, glory for me. Called by his grace, I now look on his face, and this is glory for me. Amen. Woo! Do what you feel. Anybody want to preach yet? Oh, praise God. God is so wonderful to us. Paul has another message to us. And here it is. Those who sleep in Jesus Christ will come with him. Now I want to ask you a question. We talk about soul sleep, and we believe it sometimes. But I want to tell you that when Jesus comes, the bodies are in the grave. And if the bodies are in the grave, I don't see how it is possible for us to come with him. Well, I think I do. Because the spirits of those who have died before are in the presence of God. And when God comes from heaven with a shout, he brings those spirits on that cloud, and there they remain with him. And then the Bible says that the graves are open, and the dead in Christ rise first. And as they come together, this immortal body, this corruptible body, puts on immortality and incorruption, and it meets with the Spirit of God, and there shall we ever be. Amen. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you something. If I'm going to die, my soul buried out there in the grave. I want to tell you something. Don't be a lot of trouble because I'm not going to shut my mouth. I'm going to keep asking the question why, and going to be an earthquake every 5 minutes. Because my Bible said, and the Spirit returns unto God who gave it when I die. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But what he's saying to them, my friend, look, not only have they died, and not only are they in the presence of God, not only does God protect them, but I say to you that even though we're alive, we'll not prevent them because God has them on his mind first. Now that's great, isn't it? You mean the church? No. Not the living church. But those who have died in Christ and are buried. My mom, alright? My dad, alright? My brother and sister that know God. When Jesus Christ comes, before he ever transformed me, the Bible said that he'll bring them out of the grave first. And then he said, and we'll be changed. We shall be changed and taken up together. Let's talk on this just a little bit. It's will within men once to die in the judgment. Sound contradictory to me. Well, it's not really contradictory. Because when Jesus comes, if we are alive and he comes today, our bodies must go through the same transformation as those who have died. What are you saying, preacher? Well, I'm saying this. This body is mortal. It can't live very long. I probably won't make it to maybe 140. I hope I make 139, 140, but I'm just not sure. But I know this. I don't think I'll make it past it, and I'll tell you why. Because this body's mortal. It wasn't made to live forever. And so Paul said that that mortal body must put on immortality. He's saying this body must be changed so that it can live forever in eternity. And then he says, and the incorruptible must put on incorruption. He's saying that this body, let me use this word love anyhow, it's going to rot and stink. I mean, believe me, it's going to deteriorate. It can't live. Jesus said that it must turn back to dust. If dust you were made from, then dust you must return to. And so it's going to deteriorate. And Paul said, this body must put on incorruption. It must take on a form where it will never rot. It will never wear out. I will still be, and a million years from now in heaven with God, I will still be as young and good looking as I am right now. I know you folks just turned your shoulder. But that is what Paul is talking about. For if we believe in verse 14, this does not mean that there were those who did not believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. But the Greek reads, therefore, since we believe that Jesus was resurrected, we also must believe that we shall be resurrected too. For we shall be like him. And Jesus said after his resurrection to the disciples and to those who are here today, because I live, you shall live also. And he was talking about eternal life. Eternal life. Man, I can't express that. Eternal life. He's going to have to put up with me through eternity that has to end. Amen. And you know what? I don't find it hard to put up with him, but I just don't know how he's going to muster around with me. Because I live, John 14:19 says, because I live, you shall live also. And so Paul is proclaiming a tremendous truth to the church. My friend, it's our hope. You haven't got this hope, I got your Christianity. Because our hope is in Christ Jesus, the Lord. But when Jesus came out of that grave, that was my guarantee and your guarantee. That the grave cannot hold us. That the power of God that raised Jesus from that tomb is the same power that will cause those graves to be opened and the dead in Christ to come forth to meet Christ in there. I'm assured of that. That's how come we can sing, oh, he's done so much for me. Has he done that much for you? How much have I done for him? Thirdly, Paul says that those living shall be changed, and this is what we're talking about. the scripture says it like this, for we shall all be changed in a moment in the twinkle of an eye. Man, that's fast. Now there are some folks in churches this morning, and some who were in churches yesterday, that do not believe in a resurrection. There are churches today that believe that once this body dies and goes in that grave, that's where it should be. But if that's true, then the Word of God can't be true. Because He says that the grave will open and the dead in Christ, all the dead in Christ shall rise, and we in Christ who remain shall be changed. Man, I want to tell you something. I'm going to have a body like His, and I thought I tried it sometimes. I've walked in the walls, I've walked in the table, I've walked in everything else. But you know, when Jesus comes in the room, the Bible says the door is shut. Amen. Man, you better watch out, baby. Because I'm going to have a body like that. But I will want in your room. I will then be in my room. The mansion that Christ has prepared for me. The corruptible must put on corruption. The mortal must put on immortality. And then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death. Isn't that word? That's a scary word. Death. Listen how scary it is. Death. Means you're going to die. Means you're going to die. Death. Huh? Shall be victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Then he closes, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then shall come the path that is written, death is swallowed up. Swallowed up in victory. Amen. Woo, doggy, doggy, doggy. Paul teaches them that we shall be caught together with those who are resurrected. I almost see. One time up by Decatur somewhere, I went to a revival. And the evangelist was preaching his heart out. And he said, oh, I can remember my mother and the life she lived. How she loved Jesus, and she taught Jesus, and she lived Jesus morning, noon, and night. And he said, boy, he said, I know that I'm a Christian. But he said, I want to tell you, if I knew when Jesus was coming, I would go kneel right by her grave. And when that grave opened, she come forth, I would grab a hold of her and hang on, because I have that desire to be with my mother. Ain't that great? Well, let me tell you something. We'll be with them. Sure, we're going to know them. Oh, no, I won't have a wife. No, I'm getting rid of you. You're not going to be my wife in heaven. There ain't no giving and receiving in marriage in heaven. But I want to tell you one thing. We will love each other like we've never loved each other before. In the very presence of God. I'll tell you that shouting ground. That cause for saying amen, hallelujah. That cause for saying praise God, He reigns. And this is a statement that should cause you and I to shout that Christ shall come and we shall be resurrected. My goodness, my goodness. But you know what? Listen to me. We get so impatient with prayer. I've talked to God, I'll bet I've talked to God a dozen times. He ain't have answered my prayer. Things you say. Well, I'll go around the deep and shoulder. I ain't got time. Let me tell you something. When them graves open up, Jesus is going to say amen. And I'm going to tell you why. Because, my friend, when those come out of the grave and we are changed, and we come into the presence of Jesus, God will have answered a prayer that Jesus uttered nigh on 2,000 years ago. Amen. In John, he said these words, 17:24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. My, what excitement for Jesus to receive His bride. He'll be just like me. Man, He can't wait to get hooked up and take her home. And that's the way it is with Jesus Christ the Lord. When the church comes in fellowship with the groom, my friend, Jesus will rejoice, and He'll say, "Thank you, Father, because for 2,000 years I waited for answered prayer, and now, dear Father, you have answered it. For those, the church, whom you have given me, bear with me now." Amen. Oh, Lord, Lord. I don't know exactly where heaven is. I think it's in the east, maybe. Maybe it's in the west. Maybe it's just all over. But I want to tell you something. Wherever Jesus is heaven. And if that's on this earth, if it's in the cloud or in the Father's house, I'm satisfied. Because where Jesus is peace and joy, contentment and love and endurance. And where He is eternity. Oh, my, today. Paul said to the church, "What is the problem? You believe in God. You know He died for you. You know He's buried. You know He rose again. And now you begin to question God about your loved ones that's laid out in the cemetery someplace. Don't worry about them. God hasn't forgotten them. And you remember this. Because He rose from the grave, they too shall rise from the grave. They're in the security of Jesus Christ. What do you think about your loved one? That you have laid to rest. That I have laid to rest. No doubt in my mind, friend. God's got His eyes on you. And I'll tell you, before I'm ever changed in that moment, twinkle of an eye, they'll come out of that grave and be even with me. Amen. That's what Paul was saying to them. What must I do? If this is true, and I know it's true, I do. What must I do? Me personally, you personally, what can I do? 1 Thessalonians 5:2 tells us this. That Jesus shall come as a thief in the night. And so Matthew comes 24:36, and he tells us that only the Father knows of the day that Jesus comes. Even the Son doesn't know He's coming. Only God, even Jesus, you think maybe if He knew, He'd tell somebody. But He didn't know, only God knows, and He said that. Therefore, I say, 1 Thessalonians 5:6, let us watch and be sober-minded. Paul said, expect Jesus to come any minute. Be alert, be awake, watch, and pray. And then he said, for this night should not overtake you as a surprise. Because you're not men of darkness, you're men of light. You're not lost anymore. You're Christians. You're the church. And you should know that Jesus is coming. And you should automatically be ready for His coming. Are you ready for His coming now? Before you answer that, we need to ask ourselves a question or two. Number one, am I a Christian? My friend, if you're not saved by God's grace, if you've never asked Jesus to come to your heart and save you, you're not ready for the coming of Jesus. You say, "Oh, Brother Wise, I've been saved for 132 years. Are you in fellowship with God right now? I mean, are you in close proximity with God? Are you in a close relationship with God? Is it within God today that we are moving and living and having our being? Is it God that controls your life right now? If it isn't, you might fool me and you might fool the church, but you don't fool God. If you're not in relationship and fellowship with God as we should, you're not ready for His coming. Paul said, be sober-minded. Don't be silly about this now. Be calm, cool, collective, and make sure that if Jesus comes in the next minute, you rejoice at His coming. That's what Paul is talking about. And so, the child of God should be looking and expecting the return of God with joy. Are you ready? Am I ready? John said it the best. At the end of the book of Revelation, talks the past, present, future. After he said it all and all that's going to happen after the church taken out, John says, even so, God, whatever happened, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. John said, come now, I'm ready. Am I ready for the coming of the Lord? It's such a stand in Melvin Wilson, come forward. Matthew 25:13. We'll leave you with these words. Watch therefore, For you know not the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man shall come. My friend, if they were looking for Jesus coming 2,000 years ago almost, shouldn't you and I know that He's on the way? Shouldn't we be ready? How many times have you heard the past month? You never know what's going to happen the next day. My friend, you never know what's going to happen the next second. But you know, if we're in tomb of God, who cares? Because to be absent from this body as a Christian is to be present with God. And I like what he said. And I'm willing, rather. I'm well willing to be absent from this body so that I can be present with God. Are you?
Amen.
If you're not today, you make it right. God deal with your heart for any portion of service today. If it's salvation, if it's rededicating, if it's just prayer, church membership, whatever that it is, you let God have His way, because God doesn't promise you another day. In fact, He said, be not anxious about tomorrow. Don't even give it a thought. For when it gets here, you will have problems enough in it for tomorrow. But what you need to do is you take care of today. You take care to the best of your ability. As we stand this morning, if God deals, would you come?